Then he showed it to the dead man, "Lazarus, come out." This makes me think of Monty Python, but I'm not dead yet. But really, Monty Python aside, Lazarus really was dead. And something we don't think about very much, Lazarus had to do it all over again. God did it. And it doesn't seem like anybody consulted him as to whether he thought this was a good idea or not. He just has to do it. On the other hand, that repeated experience of death is different from the rest of us how. Generally, we don't physically die more than once. But there's more to death than the end of physical processes. We always experience a bit of death. That's the pattern of the Christian life. One dies to all kinds of things before one physically dies. And out of each of those deaths comes new life. And with each death to self, each death to those things that separate us from God and from each other, each turning again or repentance, each reconciliation with God, with other people, we take one more step, often baby steps, but one more step in the process that the Eastern Orthodox refer to as theosis, or divinization. Protestants, especially Methodists, sometimes call it sanctification, but it's the same thing. And it can be really, really hard work to do. It always seems to be two steps forward, a step and a half back, and that's not a good thing. Now the model for this, the icon of this process is the Transfiguration. Not that we'll ever get there completely, but by following the pattern of Jesus in our lives, we grow closer and closer to holiness, closer and closer to union with God, not as something done by our own efforts, like going to the gym or something, but done with other people who are also trying to do the same thing. As a matter of fact, those other people are much of the point. St. Paul addresses the Corinthians to those called to be saints. And he's talking about everybody, not just the uppercase S saints. All of us are called. Our baptism is the beginning point, the formal point, but it's not ending there. Various writers and theologians over time have attempted to describe the community of those who are followers of Jesus as the Sanctum Populum, the holy people of God, the church, the ecclesia, to use the proper Greek word, which means the worshiping community, not building. They describe it as an ark or a ship. That's why some churches look like upside down ships. As people on a journey, as a hospital for sinners where the medicine for the world is dispensed, as a sanctuary for those convicts or accused, place of unbloody sacrifice, the Holy of Holies, the household of God. And that word household is the same word we get the word economy from. It's also a family. We use kinship terms, father, sister, brother, mother. That has its own set of difficulties, but it does give the sense that this community is about more than an hour or two a week. It's not quite like going to the opera. It's most emphatically not a commodity, not a service provider. We don't call those who make up this assembly customers, or even guests in the same way that Target does when they talk about guest services. Institution isn't the right word either, because the church doesn't exist for itself. Its goal is not continued institutional existence. It's not existence solely for the benefit of its members. It's not a club. As Archbishop Canterbury, William Temple, once famously said, "The church is the only society on earth that exists for the benefit of non-members." It's a economy, an economy, a household where one belongs, and like any household, belonging comes with its own set of expectations and responsibilities. support, not primarily because the church needs it, but because we need it to become more and more like Jesus and to provide to a wider world a place where we can all learn and do that together. For a century and a half, about over 50 in this location, Grace Church to its people, its economy of its sons. Week in, week out, God is worshipped, outward signs of grace, the sacraments are celebrated, people come together to praise, to be reconciled, to be strengthened and fed, and to be sent out. People care for each other in small and large ways and for the wider community. And it's not always easy. But the church itself needs to model what we're each individually called to do. And sometimes that means stepping out into the uncomfortable territory of, we've never done it that way before. But we know that we are sent. The word apostle is literally ones who are sent. We are sent to be the church of the world. Now, if you are into theological trivia, prudence is traditionally considered a virtue. But we don't want to confuse that with comfort or security. Those are something altogether different because, for starters, comfort and security are all focused on me. My comfort, my security, not on God, not on others. And we fail in our endeavor when we allow our own needs for security or our own needs for authority to tell us exactly what to do. When we let any of those things interfere, when they're primarily about me and not about the world we're called to serve. Now, this community has lived out its vocation to be on behalf of others for a long time, a century and a half. Not perfectly, far from it, but with persistence. And in doing so, it's been a particular kind of witness in this place. And the place is important not because of the building and the property, but because it forms a venue for the kind of hospitality and worship and formation that nurture the inner life and show the inevitable and logical consequences and connections of our spiritual life to the rest of our life on behalf of others. And while we can't make any claims with any certainty about exactly what God's like, because God is unknowable, what we must do as Christians is point to the person of Jesus of Nazareth and say, "Do you see that? That's what God's like." And further, we can point to those who made their life's work to follow Jesus in this place and elsewhere and say, "Do you see that? That's what God's like." At General Seminary in New York City, where I went to school, there are mosaics in the chapel floor. And as you move from the back of the chapel to the front, toward the altar, you would currently encounter them, in Latin, of course, because General Seminary is that kind of place. But there are the four classical virtues of fortitude, temperance, prudence, and mercy. And in front of the altar, from the steps up to the altar, are the three theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. When one's the deacon of the service, as I was my senior year, the instructions the sacristans give you are, when you go out among the people to proclaim the gospel, go just beyond prudence. Just beyond prudence. On this All Saints Grace Sunday, let us give thanks for the legacy and witness for Christ in this place and for all the holy people of God, past, present, and to come. The Sanctum Populum.